This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Well, Well, Well. Sex, health and well-being in our LGBTI communities.
Presented by Joy sponsor VAC.
You are indeed listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'm Michael. We are taking a swift break from talking about marriage equality this week. A scandalo. While the postal survey has been on everyone's lips the past couple of weeks and will probably continue to be doing so for the foreseeable future, we want to extend our gaze beyond talking about marriage equality and talk about some broader issues for the LGBTI community, specifically those outside of Metro Melbourne. So this week we're talking all things country queer, which is why I'm joined in the studio by my fellow co-presenter, Liam Clark.
Well, I mean, it's like I never left, really.
You've literally been here for 6 weeks, haven't you? Just sleeping under the desk.
Yep. But, you know, I love it.
But unlike weeks past, you're here with a specific frame of mind. You're going to put your little country hat on for me because you are an Aubrey Wodonga boy, if I'm not
mistaken. You are correct. I'm from one of the biggest semi-rural cities in the country.
Oh, and a border boy too. So yeah. You're straddling New South Wales.
Straddling it hard. Although, I mean, it's a river, so it's not really that hard to straddle. It's more of a swimming, flailing sort of motion.
So is your whole family from Aubrey Wodonga?
Yes, originally. Yeah. Most of my family has either left or passed away as happens
you age.
Yes. So I don't really have a lot left there anymore, so I don't go back so often.
And are you the only queer in the family?
No.
Oh,
no,
well, that's lucky.
My brother is also gay.
Oh, well, that's very handy.
And I've got a few other relatives who are gay as well.
Oh, that's very fortunate. Well, I have a very different backstory. So
yeah, you're from Apollo Bay?
I am indeed. I'm a country coastal Victorian boy, so down along the Great Ocean Road. A much smaller area than Aubrey Wodonga. We've got a resident population of about 1,500 people. And I'm the only queer in my family, and I was the only queer at school growing up, so I had a very isolated queerness growing up.
Actually, I think this makes a lot of sense. So you're from the coast, whereas I'm from inland. So I guess that explains being so close to the sea, why you're so salty all the time.
It's true. I'm very salty. Very, very salty. I have to go back to replenish my salt sources every now and then. We've got some great guests coming on to join us today. It's not just Liam and I gabbing on and on and on. We have Damien Stevens joining us a little bit later from Out in the Open to talk about regional and rural queerness. We've also got the lovely, also Michael from VAC, Michael McKay from our counselling team, who's going to be chatting about services for our queer country cousins. That's all coming up, and you are listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
G'day, this is Joe from Switchboard. Have you posted your survey back yet? If not, why not? Get it in the mail today and make your voice count. And if you need to talk to someone, give Switchboard a call. 1800 184 527. 3 p.m. to midnight every day.
You are listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Back with Michael and Liam. How are we doing, Liam?
I'm doing very well. It's a lovely Monday night here.
Now, we're talking everything LGBTI country.
Yes.
Now, where we can't talk about everything, I want to talk a little bit about your experience growing up as a young queer little baby out in Aubrey Wodonga.
Yeah, so Aubrey Wodonga is, at the time, I think it about had collectively about 100,000 people there, maybe a little bit more now. So it's not the smallest place.
You're a regional hub.
Yeah, I've always felt growing up there that it was too city to be country, but it's definitely still too country to be city. So my experience was fine. Like, it was not the most comfortable, but I never experienced any active homophobia. A lot of what I would call passive homophobia. So I felt isolated, and it was kind of difficult. There weren't a lot of queer peers, I guess, for lack of a better term, to help me through that.
Yeah, right.
And even though my brother was gay, we're not on great terms, so it meant that it was not right. I mean, I didn't have him as a resource either.
Sure. I had I had a relatively pleasant childhood growing up, but I had a similar situation in that I didn't have good queer representation around me. I was the only I was the only gay kid at school. I was the only out queer person throughout my whole primary and high school experience. So
when did you come out?
I was 14, so I was relatively young.
Yeah, oh, that's really early.
She was a baby. Yeah, so I didn't have anyone to sort of look up to, and I didn't have a sort of role model to sort of figure out where to put my feet, kind of thing. And I'm sure you had a little bit of a different situation being in a more regional hub, but I didn't have access to anything, so there was no queer culture essentially.
Yeah.
where I was. So
and I think, I mean, we are both 30. So we grew up at the exact same time.
Indeed we did.
Mid-2000s was a different time to mid-90s and a very different time to mid-2010s.
Indeed.
Things have changed a lot in the last 20 years and even in the last 10. So it's, I mean, now what I understand from my cousins who are growing up in Albury-Wodonga now, they are just, I think one of them's just in high school and he has gay friends.
Who has gay friends in high school?
I know. Like, gay kids in year 7 coming out. Like, it's...
Which is amazing. Can we go back... Can we go, like, back to our younger selves, but forward in time so that we can have queer friends at school? That would have been amazing. I would have been a pig in the proverbial if I'd had some queer baby friends.
It turns out I had queer friends all along. A number of my friends from school, from my same social group, all came out.
It came out later in life. But yeah, I had a similar scenario.
Yeah, I was the only one who came out during school, and mine was midway through year 12.
Yeah, and you sort of face a little bit of a crisis. Well, I know I did when you come out and you go, cool, I'm gay, or I'm queer, I'm identifying as something other than heterosexual.
Yeah.
Now what? There's no one around, no cute boys to kiss, well, none that'll want to kiss me back, and access to sort of services is a bit limited, so even if you find one or two people to sort of connect with and maybe start exploring your sexuality, especially where I came from, it's difficult to do things like get your regular HIV and STI screening.
Yeah, queer literacy is kind of low.
Yeah, and even if you do have a doctor or GP that you're comfortable from, especially in those really small towns, it can be confronting, you know. You don't feel like necessarily the other person understands where you're coming from. And, you know, like you said, maybe their health literacy isn't quite up to speed.
And I know in regional areas, often you have the same doctor your whole life.
Yes.
So it can be...
And sometimes the doctor that, you know, birthed you.
Yeah.
And also treats your siblings and your parents and your grandparents and stuff. So it is, while that family GP... kind of system, it can be really nurturing.
Yeah.
In some ways, it can feel confronting as a queer person.
And I think the thing that gets ignored a lot about growing up regionally is often there is nothing to worry about. Everyone's going to be completely fine with everything, but there's so much in your head.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of very real homophobia.
There
we're not discounting
that
in any way.
No,
but there's also a lot of perceived or internalized homophobia that you face.
There's so much that you
think
is going to happen that, for me, like, I was terrified of coming out. I was certain I'd be disowned by my family, and that's completely irrational because I have a gay older brother, and they didn't disown him. So, you know, it's completely irrational, but you still have fears that things will happen. Because you don't see that positive representation of queers quite as much.
Indeed, and even if people are sort of receptive to your coming out story, there's still a lot of ingrained homophobia in certain aspects of culture, so still a lot of homophobia in sport and stuff, and especially when you're still growing and developing and finding your feet, kind of thing. I know I didn't feel as comfortable playing a lot of sports as I got older. So when I was younger, I was a very butch child. I did a lot of footy and soccer and cricket and surfing and that sort of thing. But as I sort of got into this whole sort of coming into adolescence, I didn't feel as comfortable in those spaces. So I moved into sort of less contact sports, so badminton and that sort of thing, where I felt a little bit more nurtured, a little bit more mixed as well. So both men and women and, like, younger people and older people, it wasn't so much all my peers from high school that we all had to change together and there'd be, like, finger pointing and name calling and talking, which didn't always necessarily happen, but in my head, like you said, it happened to some degree.
I was also quite a sporty child, I guess. I was short and fat, and then all of a sudden I was tall and thin, and suddenly found that I was good at a lot of stuff that I was terrible at previously. But I mostly stuck to swimming because I was terrified of the whole team sports environment.
Yeah, I was more comfortable with that sort of thing, solo swimming.
Yeah.
Stuff I didn't do too badly at, whereas everything else I was a little bit garbage. Well, we have a couple of extra exciting segments coming up.
Yeah.
And some exciting guests coming up. So we might go to a little jammy jam and return to talk with our lovely guests. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Sophie Monk and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Thank you, National Treasure Sophie Monk. You are indeed listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'm still joined in the studio by my good friend Liam.
Hi.
Hi. So we've admittedly ragged on the country a little bit in the previous segment.
Yeah.
But it's not all bad in the country. But there are a few aspects to life in the country that, as an LGBTI person, you face certain barriers or poorer health outcomes because of lack of services and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I want to take a bit of a moment to relish in exactly what we have in the country now.
Yeah.
So stuff we don't have access to as city folk now.
Things have changed a lot.
Things have changed a lot. While we're not talking about the marriage equality postal survey at the moment, it has really brought to the forefront a lot of support that we have in all across the state. So just traveling around the country the last couple of weeks, I've seen lots of yes posters and stuff. And it's really heartening to go home and see in your local cafes that you grew up with that they have a big yes poster and that you feel supported.
And this is, I guess, part of that internalized thing. There are so many more people who support marriage equality and us as a community than we realize.
Yeah.
It's just that, you don't know unless somebody's being active about it.
Exactly. So, let's talk about a couple of the things that are sort of going on across Victoria now that we didn't have access to. So, working at VAC, obviously, now we've extended into regional and rural Victoria, and we have VAC Country based in Bendigo in the Loddon Mallee region. So,
yep.
There's some excellent support and resources out there for our queer country cousins in the Loddon Mallee region, which is fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's so awesome. In Ballarat, they're just about to have their very first gay festival, the Ballarat Frolic Festival.
Oh, so good! All these country festivals always have the best names. Now, nothing against Midsummer; it's a great name. It's in the middle of summer.
I mean, it does what it
but
says.
Frolic
on the label.
Frolic Festival sounds like a festival that I would like to attend very much.
I mean, I made this joke last week, but it sounds like a gay old time.
It does sound like a gay old time. That should be their tagline.
I hope that they do that. Next year.
And then obviously there's Chill Out in the Dalesford area. And while we're still on the sort of festival circuit, there's Out in the Open, which is sort of a newly formed regional pride festival by Goulburn Valley Pride in Shepparton. And we're going to be talking to Damien in just a little bit from Out in the Open about what's going on up there.
And I recall there being one out in Yakandanda a couple of times.
Oh, is there now?
Yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah, I forget. Spring Migration, I think that was called.
Oh, great.
I think it still exists, but I'm not sure.
Fantastic.
But even in terms of health resources, there is a lot more than there used to be. I know there's a border gender diversity centre now in Wodonga.
Yeah, in Wodonga, they opened, I think it was April 2017, so April this year, through Gateway Health. They have the first gender centre, and they have stuff specifically for young gender diverse people, which is absolutely fantastic.
And ACON has extended the prep trial to make sure that there is access to that in Albury now.
Oh, fantastic.
So those people in Albury Wodonga can access the prep trial.
And the same here with the PrepEx study.
Absolutely.
Which is rolled out into regional rural sites. I think we're up to about 17 or 18 different locations where you can go out and access your prep, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then obviously we've got more visible things, like we had Ida Hobbit earlier this year.
Yep.
And I know VAC went out. I went out to Morwell with our lovely friend Renee to absorb a little bit of queer country culture and obviously talk about VAC services.
Yep.
But it was really lovely going out to one of those little regional hubs where it sort of has this reputation of being, not as accessible or not as visibly queer, and to have everyone that works in and around Morwell come out to support and talking about their services and having like cute baby animals and stuff running around was absolutely amazing.
Was that part of the Equality Roadshow?
It was around the time of the Equality Roadshow. That was May and June, which is headed by Ro Allen, which went out to a number of different places all throughout May and June, from, I think it was Wodonga through to like Colac and Morwell and places like that.
Ballarat, Bendigo. Ballarat,
which is amazing to have.
Latrobe Valley.
To have some, not just grassroots level engagement, but from the commissioner literally going around country,
yeah.
Victoria, pretty much waving a flag going, we're here, we're here to support
we're
you.
We're here,
and,
we're queer.
And doing some knowledge sharing and upskilling and workshops and seminars and stuff for people working in the sector.
I think, yeah, that's something that does tend to happen. Like, by far, the majority of the population of Victoria lives in Melbourne. So it can get a little Melbourne heavy in a lot of these things sometimes. So doing the Equality Roadshow, getting out there, I was just so happy.
Yeah, I can't imagine having been at school, being the only queer person visibly, yeah, in my school, having like an Equality Roadshow come to town, you know, saying we're here, we're queer.
Hi.
That's awesome.
Hi.
Hi. would have just, yeah, warmed my little queer cockles.
Aww.
Aww.
So coming up next, we've got an interview with Damien.
Indeed we do. Damien Stevens is from Out in the Open, which is soon up in Shepparton, and we'll be talking to him about queer life up in Shep. So stay tuned. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, 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 presented by Joy sponsor VAC on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Michael and Liam in the studio. We're also joined via phone with Damien from Out in the Open. How are you going, Damien?
I'm great, guys. G'day.
We just wanted to have a quick chat with you about Out in the Open and being a queer country folk as well. We're getting a lot of queer country exposure this episode. It's very exciting. So tell us just a little bit about Out in the Open.
I sure can. We breed quickly in the country. That's why there's so many of us. No TVs. Out in the Open is Greater Shepparton's festival celebrating pride and diversity, and we're in our sixth year now. We're coming up to a four-day-long festival of 12 events during the first weekend of November.
Fantastic. So for anyone that hasn't been to Out in the Open or hasn't been to sort of Shepparton or even really out of Metro Melbourne, it's sort of like a mini midsummer that we would be familiar with here in Melbourne, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So many regional towns now, you know, are putting on their own festivals, whether it's Frolic in Ballarat or, you know, in the past there was one up in Yakandanda. And, of course, there's the wonderful Chill Out in Daylesford. So it's really great that there's more resources and more regional areas really flying the flag.
So how did Out in the Open get started? You said it's been around for around 6 years. Were you there from sort of the beginning or have you been a bit of a late comer to the scene?
Yeah, no, I was there from the inception back in 2012. We've always had a really solid community here, LGBTI people. For 20-odd years, there's been some kind of work happening here in Shepparton way back when Ro Allen, our Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, lived and worked here. And I've really continued on the work after her. And, you know, it was born in 2012 when our local community said exactly that. Melbourne's got Midsummer, you know, Daylesford's got Chill Out. We really want something here in Shepparton, and a lot of us came together, volunteers, and 6 years later, here we are.
And here you are. we were just saying before that, you know, being in especially a small country town like I was, that there's limited access to things like STI testing, and there's limited access to things like counselling services, and just general lower visibility for LGBTI people. So it's fantastic to hear that Out in the Open's been so successful and is coming up again soon. What are some of the like major events that are going on for Out in the Open?
Yeah, thanks for saying that. It's a great point. We do have a couple of good, you know, GPs and local providers here that are very inclusive, community health, you know, but it's great that we have Out in the Open and you guys coming up every so often offering outreach services. One of the events at Out in the Open is our big Carnival Day, and we have your Pronto van there, you know, and a whole lot of other services on board. That's our big event, one of the 12 Out in the Open, with, you know, 50-odd stall holders, food vendors, everyone from Headspace and Switchboard, Q Life, through to the local Tupperware lady, which is great at Carnival Day. And we have a whole lot of other stuff there. So local music, we have the Swig Rig this year. So if you like, a drink in the park, very classy affair. But we also, throughout the weekend, have a brunch, we have meditation, we have queer film, we have a well-being forum on the Friday, and, a big glamour party and drag show on the Saturday night. So there really is something for everyone.
Sounds fantastic, because, I mean, it's great to have a queer party and a big dance in the park and a few drinks or whatever, but like you just rattled off there, there's so much more to being a queer person in the country than just, wearing a glittery top and having a frolic around with a Bellini in the park. So it's great to hear that there's things like meditation and...
Yeah, so much going on.
So much going on in sort of different areas, which is fantastic. So how many days does Out in the Open actually run for?
It runs for 4 days, so from Thursday night, the 2nd of November, with an opening night networking, mixer, some food and drinks, with a focus on diversity and inclusion, and then goes right through until Sunday afternoon with the queer film screening at the local village cinemas. So 12 events crammed into 4 days. Get on it.
So it's a busy couple of days. So you said you've been involved with Out in the Open since its inception, essentially. Have you always been a Shepparton boy?
No, I haven't. So although Out in the Open Festival is only 6 years old, its parent organisers, you like, are Goulburn Valley Pride. And Goulburn Valley Pride has been around here in Shepparton now for about 12 years. That's our well-established LGBTI social group. And I've been living in Shepparton for about 15 years myself. I'm 37 now. So I moved up here when I was 22, when I was a young'un. I got involved feeling like the only gay in the village back then when I moved here. And working together with lots of different people, we've really helped grow and shape LGBTI Shepparton for the better. So it's really good.
That's fantastic. I was just saying before as well, getting out to regional and rural areas during especially this marriage equality debate that's been going on, it's fantastic to see an increase of one of the positive knock-on effects of such a difficult time for the LGBTI community is driving through somewhere like Shepparton or Echuca, Ballarat, Bendigo, wherever it may be, and seeing yes posters in everyone's windows and everyone flying pride flags. It seems like the whole world's gone a little bit queer at the moment, which is quite fantastic.
It is. I reckon I might have spied you down the street the other day here in Shepparton.
I think you may have.
There's posters everywhere. The local pubs, restaurants, whether it's a yes poster or this small business supports equality. Even in a cafe I went to this morning for a coffee, the waitress had a yes badge on her uniform. Like, it's just really important and wonderful to feel that affirmation and the support for marriage equality in regional areas. Totally agree.
We were talking before about how a lot of what we felt growing up, that we weren't supported and that we weren't visible, was a lot of it was in our heads, and now this has really given people a chance to actively and openly support our community, have you felt a lot of that while you've been doing Out in the Open? Have you felt the straight ally community coming in force and really supporting you?
I have, because what a lot of the straight allies have started saying is that for a long time they've been an ally. They've, I suppose, passively just been there and been a supporter and haven't really realised themselves until they put a yes badge on or until they became visibly active that they then are also on the receiving end of, I guess, what you call homophobia. And many of them respond to me like, holy hell, how do you deal with this on a daily basis? So I just put one badge on for one day and someone had a go at me. You guys must be doing this every other day. And sometimes it's casual homophobia, not even overt, but we feel it, like you said, and I think a lot of our allies are starting to realise just how difficult it can be, especially in rural and regional areas, and they're stepping up, which is wonderful.
And so wonderful to have an event like Out in the Open coming up to really celebrate our queer country fabulosity and queer city fabulosity for those travelling up. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us via phone today, Damien. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. Do come up first weekend in November. Jump on the bus. There's plenty of transport options. We'd love to see you, and thanks for having me on the show. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thanks so much, Damien. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We are joined via phone in studio by another Michael from VAC, Michael McKay. How are you going?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. It's going to be very confusing, Michaels and Michaels.
We'll get through it. Don't worry.
We'll get through it. So tell us a little bit about what your role is at VAC.
So, Michael, I'm the team leader of VAC's counselling team. So we have a team of counsellors who work within the community, providing counselling services on a range of issues.
Liam and I were just talking before because originally we're both country boys. So I'm from coastal country Victoria, and Liam's from the border area up in Albury-Wodonga. And we were just commenting on our lack of services sort of growing up. So we didn't have access to all of things like HIV and STI testing and LGBTI-specific services, be that counselling or otherwise. What do we sort of have going on in that space in regional and rural Victoria that's sort of being pushed forward through VAC?
Yeah, and we recognise that's a real issue, that a lot of services in the state are Melbourne-centric, and we try our very best to broaden those out as broadly as we can. So particularly in response to the marriage equality issue, and we're ever so conscious that has raised a lot of issues for people within our community. So we can now offer face-to-face, telephone, or Skype counselling for people. So for people who can't make it into Melbourne, we can offer free services if people have been affected by the marriage equality issue in any way. So for people in rural areas, telephone and Skype is a definite option. We've also got VAC Country based in Bendigo. So that's a service out and around the Bendigo area, and we're just in the process of recruiting a counsellor at that office. So that will broaden out the possibility for people in that area to receive face-to-face counselling as well as telephone and Skype.
Look, as someone that grew up in the country with a lack of those kind of services, that would be absolutely amazing to have a peer or otherwise counsellor to come in and talk to face to face. Would be absolutely sensational. We were also just talking about the general the sort of boosting of queer events and stuff that are going on in regional and rural Victoria, things like Chill Out and out in the open, out in Shepparton. So there really is a need for things other than parties and festivals and events out in those areas.
And we recognise that. I mean, VAC is one of many services that people can offer. So we recognise as an organisation in the LGBTI community that we've got, the ability to really help other services skill themselves up and become more accessible and able to meet the needs of LGBTIQ people. So part of what we're also going to be doing is spending time with those services and really helping them to build their own capacity and build their own skills, abilities, resources, so that there'll be a much broader patchwork of services that people can offer in rural and regional areas. So that's another really, really important area of work that's kind of unfolding for us.
So what other services do you provide?
Yeah, so within the broader counselling service at VAC, we also have a dedicated alcohol and drugs team, alcohol and other drugs team. So if anyone within the community feels impacted by their use of alcohol and other drugs, there's some dedicated individual and group services that they can certainly access through VAC. And in addition to that, there's some really, really developing services in our family violence space. So people who are impacted by family violence, whether that is they're concerned about their own behavior as potential perpetrators of family violence, or whether they feel they've been victimized through family violence. There's services for people, both group and individual. We've also recently hired a worker who's particularly focused on LBQ women's health, specifically within the area of drinking, and working to both raise awareness and ensure access to services that can really help to respond to women's concerns if they do have concerns about their alcohol use.
Ah, cool.
Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. Hopefully the two Michaels weren't too confusing. Where can, if people wanted to access either the phone or in person counselling services, where can they go to find out more?
So if you'd like to access or just call us and ask any questions at all, it's very simple. Just call the VAC telephone number 9865 6700. Just ask to speak to the counselling duty worker, and there's somebody who's available to speak to you Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You can also follow us on social media, because we do often advertise and just raise awareness within the community about the services we provide. So you can follow us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter as well.
And we will be putting all of these resources on the podcast page for this episode at joy.org.au/wellwellwell. You're listening to Well 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 on Joy 94.9.
Keeping you in good health. This is Well Well Well, Joy 94.9.
You are on 94.9 listening to Well Well Well. Liam and I are joined via phone by the one and only, the lovely Harry McAnulty. How you going,
Hello.
Harry?
How are you? I'm really good. How are you guys?
We're excellent.
Now, to preface, we should explain who Harry is. Harry.
No, just let it go.
No, we're not going to? Okay, fine.
So, Harry is... tell us who you are, Harry.
I run the Victorian AIDS Council's country program in Bendigo, which is called Backcountry. At Backcountry, we do a range of things. We operate a LGBTI community hub for the community to drop into and get access to information. We send them do all sorts of other organizations where they can get support. We do social mornings and gatherings and morning tea groups. And really, we just provide the community a space where they can drop in and access information and have a bit of a chat.
So how long has VAC Country been around for? How long have you been doing the good work out in Bendigo?
Oh, look, we've probably been around for about a year and a half now. So we took over the work of the Country Awareness Network, and we work quite closely now with Bendigo Community Health Services. It's a really exciting time for us at the minute, actually, because we've just recruiting for two new roles. So we're going to have a counsellor on site 2 days a week, and we're also going to be having a peer tester who is going to be working in the first ever regionally based Pronto service. So we have, obviously, Pronto, which is our rapid HIV clinic in Fitzroy. But we are now setting up a different type of a model, different to Pronto, but very similar. And it's going to work alongside community health here. And the peer is going to be situated in community health. People can go in, have a chat with a peer. So a peer is a gay or bisexual man. And they have a bit of a chat and they talk about sexual health, HIV, risks, all things like this. And then they get their finger prick HIV test. They can get a full sexual health screen when they're there as well, and they'll get their results like they do at Pronto within 15 minutes.
That's absolutely sensational. We were talking briefly earlier about the fact that Liam and I both grew up in the country.
Yep.
And limited access to things specifically like HIV and STI screening. I know personally, living sort of 3 hours from Melbourne, I had to make a jaunt into Melbourne to, you know, go out and do my partying, do all my shopping and stuff, and then organise to have all my sexual health screening at the same time. So it was a bit of a balancing act to try and make sure that, you know, I was getting up to taking care of my sexual health to get in to get tested. So to have something outside of Metro Melbourne for our little queer country cousins in and around the Bendigo area is going to be absolutely sensational. So yeah, all the best, and I hope that goes sensationally.
Yes, definitely. Look, and there's lots of other support that people can access in the country. We're very lucky in Bendigo to have, you know, lots of social and peer support groups. We have the Rainbow Eagles group that's up at the university. We have the Passion Fruit social group, which is a group for same-sex attracted women. There's a queer coffee group. There's the Fab CV social night that happens once a month. So in Bendigo, we're very lucky. But obviously in other smaller regional towns, when you go to Kyneton or Wedderburn or, you know, further up to places like Swan Hill, we have less and less services. So we try and also look at what happens actually out in Swan Hill. And there's small groups, and there's a group in Mildura, and there's groups all dotted around a lot in Mallee. So we try and act as a referral point, so when people contact or phone us, that we can link them into local support on the ground.
So if someone wanted to get in touch with you guys to set up a counselling session or come in to see that peer test facilitator once that all gets rolling and off the ground, where can they go to touch base with you guys?
So they can check us out on our Facebook page, which is just VACOUNTRY. We also are on the VAC website. So it's vac.org.au/VAC country. And if people want to phone me, they can phone me on my mobile number, which is 0437-004-680.
And we will be putting all of these resources on the podcast page for this episode at joy.org.au/well.
Thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with us, Harry. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Liam, we've had an action-packed show.
Oh, yeah, a veritable country bonanza.
Country bonanza. We've had Damien from Out in the Open, we've had Harry from VAC Country, and we've had the other Michael, the other Tyra.
The other Tyra.
From VAC, from our counselling team, talking about what's going on in the queer space out in the country.
Yeah.
And it's actually really heartwarming to see over the last, even really 10 years, how much visibility has grown with things like the Equality Roadshow and events that are going on out in the country that are really showcasing not just queer pride, but queer country pride, which is pretty fantastic.
Now, of course, we weren't going to talk about marriage equality too much. But
plot twist, yeah. We're going to.
Surprise. have you been back home lately, and have you noticed anything happening there?
I have. I went home a couple of weeks ago to visit my folks, and I took a bevy of posters and badges and stickers and stuff all from work, and thought I'll plaster the front street and make sure that every little cafe's got a poster in it so that people that drive through, it's a very popular tourist town, feel well supported. Got there and probably only handed about 5 posters out because the town was pretty well plastered anyway. So it's amazing as a person that grew up as literally the only gay in the village that I was well aware of, to have such amazing visible support from people that I didn't know that I had really their support to begin with.
I was just saying, it sounded like the only gay in the village sketch from Little Britain where...
Kind of, yeah. Where, you know, without as much latex.
Everyone's actually supportive. Well, I mean, I guess that's my life.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. You go, I'm out, I'm proud, I'm gay. And everyone goes, yeah, cool, great.
Yeah. I haven't been home. Actually, I haven't been home for a while. Most of my family don't live there anymore, and I can't drive, so it makes getting home a bit difficult.
Yeah, roadblocks. But you have been out in country Victoria a little
bit,
I believe.
Yeah, I've been supporting the guys with Frolic in Ballarat, and they were telling me how incredible it's been just having Ballarat covered in rainbows and all this sort of surprising support that they weren't anticipating. But, I mean, I guess that's really why they felt the need to create the Frolic Festival to, you know, give what I believe they are referring to as Ballaratians.
Ballaratians. Yes, is that a thing?
I think that's what the website calls them.
I'm not sure.
Although I refer to myself as a Wodongarian, and I'm not sure that's a real thing either. It is now.
Change approved.
But yeah, it's great to see so much more country representation. It's changed a lot since our adolescence, I would say.
Absolutely, absolutely. Even if there aren't more queer people at, you know, at things like the high school or living permanently in the town that I grew up in, just to see throughout this debate so much visible people just standing by you going, we know it sucks, but you have our support kind of thing is really lovely. It makes me want to go home more. It makes me want to spend time there.
Yeah, it makes me feel like the little isolated kid in the country, just it's not as much of a thing anymore.
Yeah.
However, we, you know, both live in the city now, and maybe we're just looking at it through rosy-coloured glasses.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, rosy-coloured glasses.
Woo! So, of course, if you are a kid out in the country and you do need help, please check out any of the resources we've mentioned on tonight's episode. You can find all of that and the podcast for this episode at joy.org.au/well. The podcast will also be available on the iTunes Store.
And you can also find out any of the VAC-specific resources that we've talked about today at vac.org.au. And up next, I believe, we have 21st Century Women coming to take
21st
up.
Century Women. I love those guys.
Well, girls.
Well, I love them. They're a great team.
It has been an honour to grace the studio with you to talk all things queer country, given we're both queer and from the country.
Yep.
And I will see you next time, Liam. It's been fantastic. Let's do this again soon.
Thank you so much to everyone. Thank you so much, Michael. You're listening to Well on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.